Jesus Christ is alive, and He'll come into each and every heart that invites Him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world.
Because we bring it to children, the mother and the father accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
These boxes give us a chance to show them the days of life, the days of truth.
Million of children around the world will be an impact of these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
So for over 30 years, Operation Christmas Child has been able to give over 220 million children shoebox gifts. Mm-hmm. With each shoebox gift, that's a gospel opportunity. So over 220 million times, the gospel's been shared to a child. From there, it doesn't just stay with the child. The child then tells their parents, their siblings, their grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors, whoever. Each box can have an internal impact. They go to over 100 countries. Some that are not welcoming to Christians. And sometimes that's just the only way that we are able to get in the door as Christians is through a shoebox. The biggest thing is we get to build recognition. Which is Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mm-hmm. 11.3 boxes were given, and over 5.2 million reported decisions for Christ. Alright? So, after we give the boxes, and what do? We don't just walk away from them. They actually get the gospel presentation right then and there. And they get this little booklet. It's called The Greatest Gift. And it's in their language. There's lots of pictures and all that explains the gospel. From there, they're invited to come back to their local churches and have a 12-lesson discipleship program with a book called The Greatest Journey. The Greatest Journey teaches them to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to share the gospel. Essentially, that ends up starting this wildfire in Christ. Through a video, I'm just going to show you about a boy. His name is Kabari. Kabari is deaf. He's from a village in Africa. the video is going to shut off. The show does have limited ratings in it because he's deaf. He's not able to speak. I just want y'all to see how Bulldog had such a major impact for him. Boxes that change lives. And they don't just change children's lives, they change families, villages, communities' lives. So my question is, church, how can you help? And first off, I'm about to package two boxes. The city of Mr. Clever been amazing get him the stuff, y'all. And you pack them here, pack them in your home, pack them as a church. But I understand that God items are bigger, better stand out, such as stuffed animals, baby dolls, sparkle balls, toiletries, toothbrush, gloves, all things that we as Americans don't really think much about. School supplies, as I shared with the ladies this morning, there's a gentleman I know that was in Conway who was from Romania, and he got a box of colored pencils. They had never seen colored pencils before, and it, even to this day, he still talks about how those colored pencils were life-changing, and that was just a huge warm joy he got from them. Even little clothes, shoes, hats, t-shirts, flip-flops. You can personalize cards, letters, with a simple note as Jesus loves you. If you're not able to get out and shop, maybe you don't like to shop, you can go box online. I have an aunt who lives in Florida who wanted to be a part of this with my family, and she's like, well, I missed it and I wasn't able to see y'all. Well, that's okay. If you can, Sheila, you go online to build a box online, and she was able to build a box by just picking out certain items. They will then go to the Water Processing Center. Last year it was in Aurora, Illinois, which is near Chicago, and they built a box for her. The biggest and easiest thing that anyone can do is pray. Pray for boxes that are packed as they go to the children. Pray that they're packed with love. Pray that they are packed with things that that child needs or wants, things that will make an impact on that child. Pray as they are received by the children, that the children's hearts are open to the gospel. Pray that their family's hearts are open also. Pray for people that are boxing. Pray for people that have them in the processing center. The processing center is where we look through boxes, make sure everything is okay, make sure that there's nothing broken or damaged or anything that there shouldn't be. Pray that they are diligent in their inspection. Pray for the drivers who are taking the boxes overseas. I know of another story of a gentleman who was delivering shoe boxes. He was not a Christian. He didn't know what on earth was going on. He just knew he was making a delivery. And while in the truck with him were our missions team, the missionaries that were sharing, that were able to share the gospel. And because he wanted to know what was he doing and why was he delivering, this gentleman got to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior because of him helping deliver shoe boxes. Pray for the local churches and the volunteers as they share the gospel and they disciple these children and their families. So on top of vacuum packing shoe boxes, it's also volunteers. We need volunteers to help out with project leaders, people who step up and say, I love this opportunity and I want to be a bigger part of that. People like myself who are a year-round volunteer, part of the church relations team, which means I get to go to churches and support y'all, the ones that are already participating, and then also bring in churches who've never participated before. And then also going to distribution centers. This is what I'm doing here in this picture. I'm at the distribution center doing the inspections. At this particular time, I'm creating the boxes I've been expected and don't let our visitor head on to the 18-wheelers and then go overseas. And then the last thing that you can do is financially get. It costs us roughly $10 a box to ship. You can donate online, or you can put the money in the boxes, or however is needed. The donations help cover the cost of course, the boxes themselves for shipping, but also the literature and other items that are needed to support the local churches and their ministries. As the shoebox takes them away in the journey, and what they do is they go from right here in Fort Smith on to from here to Dallas, which is where our postal processing center is, where they're expected and then crated. They're then loaded into 18-wheelers and then take them to planes, trains, buses, go overseas. And from there, they are spread to the block or to children. They may be going by another little truck, on the back of someone's motorcycle, on a donkey, a camel, an elephant, whatever it takes to get these boxes to the children. Then once they're given out, that's where they give the gospel presentation and are able to follow up. Once they are finished the grade journey, which is the 12 lesson discipleship program, they have a graduation celebration. The first video we saw the children in captive grounds and they're cheering, they're so excited because they just graduated. They get a Bible, a New Testament Bible in their own language. And at that point, they have completed, but then they also have followers of their church as being part of the church. National Collection Week is always the third week in November. This year is November 18th to 25th. That is our deadline to turn the boxes in. So, church, I ask you to join us. Let's pack these boxes. Let's print these boxes. Let's spread the gospel. Let's make our own bonfire for Jesus. Thank you.
My wife and I have dedicated 5 Bibles in your honor and your recognition, thanking you for your partnership with Gideon's. And I want to challenge you to just keep pressing on. Philippians 3:14, you know, says pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Each Bible that we place in hotels and motels provided by the donor, the Gideon's, each Bible place has the potential of reaching over 2,300 people that check in and out of that room over the course of the life of that Bible. And in a 6-year life span of service, we're in over, this is 175 countries. That's an old card. We're currently in 199 countries, and I just thank you so much for your service. And I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like a substitute. Paul Kent is an attorney in Van Buren, and I know known him most of my life. He's a very good person. He's just a man of such a few words. It was actually kind of humorous because Paul called me one day and he said, Ed, I want you to know, he said, I've got a little niece and said she has been part of our close family for many, many years, you know. He began to tell me about her life and how that she had started in grade school and went all through college. And about a half hour later, he said, and when she was over here getting ready for Christmas and looked up above the Christmas tree, she noticed a little spot on the ceiling. You reckon you could come and fix that spot? Paul was a talker. Well, one of the things he showed me that day was a little New Testament. And this New Testament was given to his dad, Zed Kemp, as he was serving as a JAG officer, general officer, on a ship in the Navy. And in the front, it says Zed right there on the front cover. And two pages in, it says the White House, Washington, dated January 25, 1941, to the Armed Forces. As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the Armed Forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a fountain of strength, and now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspirations for the human soul. Very sincerely yours, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Oh, that we had leadership.
Yes.
That would sign off on something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for Billy Graham, Franklin Graham's ministry.
Yes.
I find myself posting little clips of Billy Graham's sermons on Facebook on a very, very consistent basis. He just thrills my heart. I asked Pastor to provide me with a little bit of water. I was diagnosed recently as being dehydrated, and I'm trying to get myself rehydrated, so I have a tendency to get dried out. We had a group of men from the Section 5 area here, Van Buren, Greater Fort Smith area, that took a trip to Santa Barbara, Mexico many years ago. The church that was there when we arrived had the entire sidewall tore out and all the way across the back. And they had prepared and laid the footing to move the walls out both directions to expand the church. They had a Sunday school class that had a second level above it, and a staircase going up there. And beneath that, there was a little desk, and Ken Hardcastle, some of you may have had Ken Hardcastle cut your hair over the years, but Ken was our mud mixer, and he came over, and he said, Ed, I want to show you something here. And he showed me on that little desk was a little glass of water and this little New Testament. And this little New Testament, when I looked at it and opened it up, it has inside of it some real kind of adolescent printing. And I couldn't quite make everything out. You know, it says E something, N-E-S, and then there's a T there on the second line, and on the last line is Soto, and then a date. Well, I spun through it, and I turned to the back. And back here at the back, very clearly, under the prayer of salvation, asking the Lord into her heart, was printed very clearly, Ernestina Soto, Julio del Uno, July 1st of 1998. Well, at that point, I needed to know more. And our interpreter's name was Ramon. I said, Ramon, I want you to get me hooked up with someone that can tell me about Ernestina. And so in a bit, the pastor's wife came over, and through the interpreter, she explained to me that the Gideons had come to the local Catholic school and distributed these testaments to the students. Ernestina was one of 15 students that had read that Bible, read the plan of salvation in the back, made a decision to accept Christ on their own, and came out of the community to their evangelical church and were a part of that church after making the decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God stands alone. And although many times we have the privilege of having a pastor to guide us in finding the Lord as personal Savior, many times people just bump into the Word in a hotel or a motel. I met Gideon when I first joined him in 1996. The fellow that sat across the table from me is Hank Jacobs. He had recently been on a foreign mission trip doing distribution. And he told me, he said, "Dan, I want to tell you a little story." And this story is about a guy named Pastor Bob. And Pastor Bob in the Philippines, this Gideon had gone to Pastor Bob's church. And there at Pastor Bob's church, he was called up to give a Gideon report, much like I'm doing here this morning. And the pastor said, "Before I turn you loose, I want to tell you folks something that I have never told anybody." He said, "When I was a young boy, I was a wicked little rascal. And I was involved in a lot of things that I should not have been involved in. And one day, I was at a local nurse's dormitory attached to the hospital. And I was just pilfering through there trying to find something that I could steal worthwhile. And he said, there was only one door in and out of that. Opened directly into the hospital." And he said, "In a little bit, the door opened, and this young lady walked in." And he said, "As I ran by her, I grabbed her purse that was over her shoulder, and she grabbed it, and we kind of tussled, and then she hit me in the face with a little book." And he said, "That little book bounced off of my head and landed in my hand, and I ran out that door." And he said, "When I was about 2 or 3 blocks away, I looked and realized what I had in my hand was a New Testament." He said, "I took it home and I put it in my dresser drawer and never looked at it at all. But one day," he said, "I was digging for some socks, and my hand lay on that little New Testament. Let me alleviate your concern. You see my shaking. I'm 5 years into Parkinson's. I'm not fixing to fall out of here. Okay, I'm not in good shape." But he reached in there and he found that little New Testament. And he opened it up and he began reading through that New Testament. And at a point, he turned his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ there in his own bedroom, in his own place. But the Lord called him to preach. And he said, "It's because of that little nurse hitting me with that testimony that I stand here before you today as your pastor." Well, Hank said that there was a lady out there in the congregation that had stood up on her feet and said she was just weeping. And obviously just really moved by what she had just heard. And the pastor said, what's the matter? She said, "You've never told me this story." And he said, "I prefaced my remarks with the fact I've never told this story to anybody." She said, "Yes, but I'm your wife, and you've never told me this story." He said, "Why are you upset?" She said, "I'm not upset." She said, "Before you and I ever met, I was in the nurse's training. And I walked into my dormitory one day, and some guy come running by, grabbed my purse, and I walked him upside the head with my little nurse's testimony. And he took it and ran away." When I first heard that story, it thrilled me. And I thought, how wonderful and what a sense of humor our God must have to orchestrate things in that way. And the next thing I thought was, I wonder how many women just wish they had the opportunity to go back when their husband was in his formative years and walking beside me. God is a good, good God.
Yes.
My granddad joined the Gideons in the early mid-60s. He was in business over here at Pullman Campers on Menlo Boulevard. He visited this church and knew folks in this church and had spoken in this church. He gave my mother this little New Testament. And in April of 1966, and she wrote her name in the front, indicating the Bible belonged to her. But then at some point, she went to the back and wrote down Dora Mae Jones, January 1943, which is when she made the decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in her heart. I treasure that Bible. One of the last years, I visited my granddad one day. He actually called me on the phone. Lived in Russellville at the time. He lived in Knoxville for many years. Bought some property from Bill Kennett. Built a place down there close to Bill's place. But granddad called me. He said, "Ed, I want you to call the Gideons from New York City and find out when they're having their next distribution, because I want to go one more time to New York City." Well, I called the coordinator up there and he said, "Ed, we just had that distribution last month. You know, we do it every year in September. So that's already passed." Well, I knew my granddad wasn't going to make it another year. So I made plans to go in his state. And that year we distributed a little over 400,000 Bibles in a week's time there in New York City. I had the privilege of working with the auxiliary, our ladies, and going into the nursing facilities. Our ladies in Van Buren just did the nursing homes over there just this past week on Wednesday. When I got up on the 9th floor, I was carrying Bibles for the ladies, and I walked into a room, and there was a little elderly lady sitting in a wheelchair right there just inside the door. I spoke to her. There was two beds. I asked her if she had a roommate. She said, "Yes, she's down somewhere in the dining hall, perhaps." I said, "Can I leave a Bible here for her?" She said, "You certainly may." And as I was walking out the door, she said, "Thank you for the work you're doing. You are doing such a wonderful work." And I said, "Well, I appreciate that. Tell me, are you a born-again Christian?" And she said, "No." And she said, "I'm not good enough to be a born-again Christian." And I said, "Well, Miss Marie, this has nothing to do with how good you are. It has everything to do with the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the provision
for you." Amen.
And I asked her, I said, can I share some scriptures? Would you like to know how you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" She said, "Well, I've attended the Catholic Church faithfully all my life, but nobody ever told me I could have a personal relationship." So I said, "Well, can you read the print on that little, actually on their testament, there's a larger one, it's bold print, not like mine, but I said, can you read that? Do you mind reading that aloud to me?" And she read, "For all and sin, short of the word of God." I said, what does that mean to you, Ray? And she explained it to me. She read it as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And explained to me how that spoke to her heart. She read, all we like sheep have gone astray, have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 55:6, 53:6, excuse me. Then she read God's remedy for sin. And she read, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And she read, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And she explained to me how that was speaking to her heart. She read, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and dine with him and he with me. I said, Marie, where's that door? She said, I'm pretty sure you're talking about my heart's door. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, can you read this assurance as a believer over here for me? And she read that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I said, Marie, can you read that little prayer up there at the top of the page? And she read a prayer very similar to this one, no doubt. My decision to receive Christ as my Savior, confessing to God that I am a sinner, and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior. And I asked her, I said, Marie, would you like to pray a prayer and ask the Lord into your heart? And she said, oh, I sure would.
Amen.
And when she concluded that prayer, I didn't think she was ever going to turn loose in my hand. She was 91 years old. Her mind was probably clearer than my mind is today. We had a great time. She finally turned loose and let me go on. But I'm going to tell you something. We were there working as your errand boys. Y'all buy the scriptures. We're just the postman that takes them out and places them in the traffic lanes of life. God does his business as we do ours, and as we place the word into folks' hands. Let's go fishing for a minute. Lawrence Daniel, another barber here at Fort Smith, and I went to White Oak Creek many years ago. I had been catching my limit of slab crappie, big slab crappie, sometimes twice a day there at White Oak. We pulled into a choice spot, and even though I was driving the boat, I was already baited up. And I didn't want to waste a second. And I said, Lawrence, that big old long cane pole. I said, yesterday I put a big slab out right here. And that bobber never did stop. When it hit the water, it just kept on going. And I pulled about a 2-pound crappie right in the boat. Is there anything more exciting than catching a huge fish? Well, is there? Yes, there is. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. One Saturday, I was in an Arkansas prison, and I was making my way out of a 90-man prison farm. Our 25-man team was out there in the corridor waiting on me. I just finished praying with four guys, and I was near running to catch up with the team, because you can't move through the next lock, locking doors out there in the corridor until your whole team was out there. I noticed a young man standing beside the door. We'd had teams working all through that pond, he'd heard the plan of salvation when they were presented. But he hadn't had a chance to talk to anyone, apparently. He was standing there looking at me. I was unheard. He made eye contact with me. He saw my intent. He saw that I was not planning to stop. I couldn't pass him by. I said, young man, would you like to have a Bible? He said, oh, I sure would. Are you a born-again Christian? No, sir. Would you like to be one? He said, I sure would. I said, can we just pray together? And within a minute, his name was being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
He'd already heard the challenge. He'd already heard all about it. And I just had to come along and play cleanup. You know, we check the condition of Bibles in hotels and motels in your city every 6 months. And many times we find them missing. We're delighted to find that someone stole our Bibles. And we put a brand new one in its place. We've gone through, looked to see if any damage was done, coming apart perhaps, or might just have coffee stains in it somewhere. And for whatever reason, we put a pristine copy there in its place and go on our way. God is using you to provide Bibles for your Gideons here. Into the traffic lanes of life. We place Bibles in schools from the fifth grade up. We place them in the hotels and motels. We place them in doctor's offices, dentist offices. We give them to the nurses, and we give them to all health care professionals. We give them to EMTs, fire departments, the sheriff's department, the police department. All on your behalf. And we let them know that these Bibles are being provided by our local churches. We had a missionary from Calcutta, India come to our church once upon a time, Calcutta Buntain. I visited with her. She wrote in my Bible, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. Proverbs 3:27. I said, Sister Buntain, what do you know about the Gideons? She said, well, Ed, when Mark, my husband, died, she said the largest hotel in Calcutta, India was just being completed, and it was Bibles, completely with Bibles that were given in memory of Mark. I said, well, do you have Gideons? What do you know about the Gideons? She said, Ed, every single qualified man in my church in Calcutta, India, is Gideon. You know, there are near 5 million people there then living in 71 square miles. Now, you may not realize that that's barely larger than the city of Portsmouth. She said, when someone checks into a hospital there, there's a Bible in the room. When they check out, no matter whether they die or if they go home, that Bible leaves the room and has to be replaced. She said, my men are busy nearly daily keeping the Bibles distributed here in Calcutta. She said, our headquarters wants us to have a men's ministry. And I tried on two or three occasions to develop that. Unsuccessfully, our guys were too busy placing Bibles. So we just decided that our men's ministry and our church was going to be Gideon. How can you help the Gideons? Let me tell you, you can pray. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the
pulling down the strongholds.
You can be involved and stay involved with the Gideons. Yeah. There's a level of membership that's a friend of Gideon's. I'm going to leave a brochure back here on the back where you can read about becoming a friend of Gideon's. And there's no fee for becoming a friend. They do send you mailings, let you know what the Gideons are doing, and you can buy little New Testaments for your own use. They don't have the Gideon emblem on them, but everything else is identical to the New Testaments that we give folks. You can continue to invest. I want to thank you for your financial gifts through the years to help provide the Word of God here in your city and around the world. We've currently given over 2.6 billion copies of God's Word. And since the Gideons began in Arkansas, just very recently, we reached the $100 million mark of gifts that we've given from Arkansas churches. And one of those two numbers I just gave you was accurate. I'm praying right now that my body don't outlive my mind. You know, we do distribute millions of Bibles and New Testaments every year. And our goal this year is to distribute over 90 million scriptures. You don't have to be a Gideon to share Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You can share Jesus Christ through the shoebox ministry. And you can share Jesus Christ by supporting Gideons, Rice Bibles. You don't have to support either one of them exclusively. We'd appreciate your assistance in helping to buy Bibles. And helping to send gifts around the world through the, what do you call that ministry?
Operation Christmas Child.
Operation
Christmas Child.
Say that again.
Christmas Child.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Operation Christmas Child. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
So these ministries, such as Operation Christmas Child, we know it is the Tissue Box and the Gideons, are para organizations. And a para organization comes beside churches like Sprague Baptist Church. They lock arms with us, we lock arms with them, and we have a chance to do what the Great Commission says, go into all the world. We can't go into all the world, but we can go into all the world by simply supporting ministries like this. And all kinds of sorts of Gideons get in there. The hotels, only eternity itself will tell us what these men are doing. So para organizations are part of us. They serve with us. They serve for us. And so it's been a wonderful thing. And let's all stand. The room is going to be in the invitation. The Lord spoke to your heart about you being born again. We're here for you. Okay, move it.
My soul is coming. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Faith I crossed through, all will be.
Thank you so much for your